preparing for a miracle. So how do I prepare for a miracle? How do you prepare for a miracle? The theme for this year has been believe. Believe. So therefore, when you're getting ready to prepare for a miracle, that's your key word. Believe. Believe God's word. Believe God's promise. Believe God's love. God says, I love you. Believe it. God says, I want the best for you. And I want you in your best to be able to give to all those who don't know me. We're here for a purpose, folks. We are here. When I got saved, Brother Randy, I was excited. Now, you all have heard, you've heard both stories on that. I was saved at 8 in Buffalo. Fine, everything was fine, but they wouldn't let me be baptized because I was too young. I didn't know what I'm doing, was doing. Any of you all know what you're doing half the time? You see, I knew that I wanted to trust Jesus. And I knew that in trusting Jesus did not require me to know anything other than Jesus when he touched my heart. So it was later, at about 14 years of age, when I was at the other church and I had to go through all that garbage. I could never got baptized. It took an act of God to get me baptized in those days because you didn't act like normal everybody else did. Uncle Ben didn't act that way, so you must not be saved. What about Uncle Ben? I'm not so sure. He's pretty shaky. You see what I mean? God says, I will miraculously touch your life. That's salvation. And I believe. Therefore, I'm born again because I believe, not because of what I do or what I say or where I go, but of who I know. And I know Jesus. And when you know Jesus, you're saved. Nobody can take that away from you. To prepare for that miracle in believing. Now, here's my problem as a human being. I do believe and I trust Jesus. But folks, have you ever found yourself having a pretty hard time trusting anybody else but Jesus? But here's what I want you to remember. Jesus will send people into your life that you can trust. That's why I'm not to be unequally yoked to a non-believer. That's where I draw the line on performing ceremonies. I will not perform a ceremony for the Christian to a non-believer because the scripture says be not unequally yoked to a non-believer. That causes all sorts of problems. Okay, does that mean it won't work out? No. No. It just means you're going to have a lot more headaches. Okay, Christians, as Christians, we're married. Do you mean to tell me you're not having any headaches in that marriage? Do you not have a few fights ever so often? Think of that. Some of you husbands are really hiding behind that mask right now. Larry Stutler just pulled his up to his eyes. Well, you think of that. That's human nature. But Christ holds us together. There's a greater power, that power that is within you than is in the world. Amen. And in that power, Jesus says, I'm in charge. I'm in charge of your life. I'm in charge of your steps. I'm in charge of the path. I'm in charge of everything that's on that path. And I'm in charge of the people that I'm sending your way to bless your life. Boy, we fight against blessings. My whole ministry in the correctional system of people fighting against blessings. You know why? Because they distrusted. You know why? Because they saw people they could not trust. And they themselves were people that others could not trust. You can trust Jesus. You can take him at his word. Mark 10, 27 reads, all things, hear me? All things are possible with God. Amen. Not just, well, you know, God might be able to do that. I have no restrictions on what God can do at all. I know last night Faye and I were laughing about it. I'd gotten so many texts from people that are praying for me in this upcoming surgery. And we were chuckling, and I said, you know, it would be awesome when a surgeon come in to get ready to do the surgery and ask for the scalpel, and it comes floating across and starts cutting. I tell you what, if there wasn't a believer in there, they would be by the time that was over. Well, you see, I believe all things are possible with God. But God will use the hands of the one he touched. He will touch them. I'm in the hands of the great physician. I, though, know that I believe in Jesus to the point that fine, whatever happens is fine with me, but I got a lot of preaching left in me, and I know that, Brother Randy. And the more I get around Brother Randy, the more sermons just pop right out in my head. God continues to touch us. All things are possible. Number one, first, you must admit you have a need. If you're looking for a miracle, you have to admit that you have a need. Jesus comes to the other side again. He's getting out the boat. He sees all of these people here. Listen to Mark 6, 34 through 37. When Jesus saw a large crowd. Now, I want you to listen to this closely. When he saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them. Now, I didn't put it all on there for you, but he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion on the crowd, on the multitude. So he had compassion. What did he do? He began teaching them. He had compassion. Well, you think he'd do something else. But he go out and perform a bunch of amazing miracles, make them follow. He began teaching them. When you have compassion on someone, you want them to know the truth, do you not? When you love someone, you want them to have the best, do you not? How do we learn? We learn from being taught. But how can we be taught without the teacher, without the preachers? By this time, it was late in the day. So his disciples came and said, as a roughneck crew, remember, this is a remote place. There were no McDonald's, no Chick-fil-A's anywhere. Remote. Here they are out there. The disciples don't know what to do. Let me give you a little background history on that. When people get very hungry, whether you notice this or not, they get grouchy. Now, you get that belly growling, people start growling. That's just the way that it is. So the disciples are nervous. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came and said, this is a remote place. Guess Jesus hadn't figured that out yet, right? Okay. Send the people away. Now listen to what man's remedy for about everything is. Send them away. Let somebody else handle it. Get them away from us, out of sight, out of mind. Send the people away so they can go and buy something to eat. But Jesus answered, you give them something. You give them something. Now, I want you to know where their mind went right off the bat. They said, well, that would take 8 months of a man's wages. Lord, I ain't spending my money on this crew. That's where the man goes. How much is this going to cost? Jesus paid the cost for me and you on that cross. More than any of us are ever willing to give. Do you know what Jesus was teaching them? Believe. Trust me. So the disciples, his own disciples, come to him. And what do they say? Send the people away. But the people are in need. They need to be taught. They need to be fed. They need to be taken care of. Because Jesus had already said, they're like sheep without a shepherd. What does a shepherd do? The shepherd does not depend on the sheep to take care of him. He takes care of the people, of the sheep. He watches over the flock. He fights the wolves, the lions, or whatever. He fights. Assess your need. Here's the problem. We're in a dark place. The people are in a place where nothing really is there. Well, let me ask you. You ever been there? Are you there right now? You've been somewhere where you've never trod before? You don't even have to get out of your own home, out of your own mind to go there. Been there in such a dark, dungy place in your life, out in the wilderness of life. You're sitting in your chair, and all manner of evil focuses upon you, and you see only the negative of life, and that life is your life. Only the brokenness that is there is your brokenness. You see your hurts, your pains. You see the pains within your own family. The wilderness, the side of a mountain, it is bare. But not when Jesus is there. It is he who says, I'll come to you in your time of need. It is he who says, I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. It is he who says, I will give you the food of life. I will give you the best drink of water you ever had. I will sustain you. I will do this for you, and all because I love you. What else do we want? What the Lord wants from us is this: availability. I want you to be available. Well, Lord, when you want me to be available? When I want you to be available. I will call upon you. Believe me. And when I say go, you go. Well, that's not easy, Lord. You think that cross was easy? Do you believe that loving people who despise you is easy? So God says, go take care of them. You said, disciples, you are my follower. Then follow me. Take care of those that are around you, those who are hurting, those who are in need. Do it. Show them the love. But then he says, you got to assess what we have to work with. Now, there's where mercy comes in. I look at that on my own life. And the Lord's assessing what he has to work with. Ain't got much here, Lord. It's okay, Larry Pete. I know you were born in Buffalo, Kentucky, on Buffalo Hill. So therefore, you'll come out okay. I will teach you. I will train you. Listen to my voice and speak my words, not your own. To Don't get so educated that you're too smart to serve the Lord. Don't keep going to the point of where you think you did it on your own. My good friends, chief of chaplain of the state of Kentucky and at the reformatory, his wife was telling me, said, Larry, why don't you please tell Jim to go ahead and get his doctorates. He has to turn his thesis in. You know, tell him to do that. I said, Ann, I ain't telling him anything. That's my boss. But anyway, I was talking to him about it. He said, Larry, you know why I don't? He said, I've done all that stuff. I know that I can do that. But I don't want to ever get into the point to where I think that that doctorate is more powerful than the Christ who saved me. He never would get it done. And he said, by the way, you don't need it either. And I thought, oh. And his wife hit the ceiling. But it's a fact. God says, trust me. Assess whether a little boy was standing around. I love this. Read the scripture and notice how many times Jesus pointed to the kids. How many times Jesus would let us know out of the mouth of babes come the wisdom of life. Listen to it. There's a little more there, Mark 6:38. And he had some loaves of bread and fish, 5 loaves, 2 fish. Anyway, disciples let Jesus know that. And they go and they get the little boy, get what he has. Says, how many loaves do you have? This is Jesus saying. Jesus asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 small loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, John 6:6 tells us that Jesus asked this only to test them, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Tell me what you have. This is all we've got. Can't you imagine them looking at each other? What are we going to do with this? The multitudes are out there. 5,000, now more like 15,000 total with women and children. And those in that era, you got to get into the culture of the time. They only counted men. Well, they wouldn't make it very well today, would they? They only counted men in these counts, so you would add on the family number with it. Okay. Assess what you have to work with. Lord, I don't have anything to work with. 5 little loaves of bread and 2 fish. Look at these people and they're hungry. They're going to start growling in a minute instead of their stomachs. Jesus looked at, do you know, not one time did they say, Lord, what do you want us to do? Feed them? What did they do? Come up with an excuse. We don't have money. Why not ask the Lord? Lord, how do you want us to do this? Do we not realize that that's what the Lord is calling on us to do? You got the problem. Quit arguing with the remedy. Quit fussing about it. Quit thinking on your own with it. Lord, here's the situation. What do you want me to do to remedy it? That's a miracle. Why, it's a miracle to get us to even ask. Lord, what do you want me to do with it? Third thing is, give whatever you got. Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. Good, give me your, I don't know what you're doing, and watch me do it. That's what he wants to see from us. We must give God whatever we have. Now listen to this. Mark 6, verse 41. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He blessed the food and broke the loaves. Now, read what comes next. And then he kept on giving. Broke the loaves and he kept giving. Kept giving. You go, here's your 5 loaves, the fishes. Jesus starts handing them out. they keep multiplying. Everybody's getting it. Everybody's getting all that they need. The growling is only in the stomach of the people in the back line, and he's going to have it for them when they get there. Because they kept coming, he kept giving. Lord, I know you're getting tired of hearing me. No, he don't, and you won't find that in Scripture. So quit saying it. He's not getting tired of you. Well, yeah, but, you know, what if I die of this or die of that? God will get fed up with me, and, you know, what if I just say, well, everybody here could die right now. I know that cheers you up, but that's a fact. You don't know when that time is. I know the one who does, and he don't need a cancer to kill me. If he wants me out, I'm gone. You see, he's God. He loves you. He loves me. He loves the multitudes. He loves those when he's looking at them. He has that compassion because they're wandering around like sheep without a shepherd. They don't know what's going on. And God is the only one who truly does. Don't you depend on a government to tell you. They'll tell you they know everything. But folks, I got news for you. I know the one who does know everything, and that one also knows me, and he knows you. Praise the Lord. And therefore, you and I need to get prepared and give him whatever we have. And he kept giving them to the disciples to set before the people. This kid, he gave what he had willingly, cheerfully, and immediately. Sure, you all want to hear. Kids do that. Kids want to make everybody in the room happy. Don't want to mess it up, the adults. Boy, adults, you can make it miserable sometimes for kids. But kid just wants to please everyone. God's watching. Jesus pay attention to his children. Gives warnings. Always bringing up children. Always talking to children. Always letting you know, they belong to me. I give them into your well-keeping for a period of time. But then they go into service for me. And during that time, miracles. God has got so many miracles. There's a book out, All the Miracles of the Bible. I got news for you. The book's wrong. Your pastor will tell you the book's wrong. I have the book. I've read the book. Boy, it's small print. It's wrong. You know why? You and I cannot count the miracles. There's no way that we can. John 21:25 says that if all the miracles that Jesus performed were written in a book, he says, I suppose the world would not be large enough to contain the books it would take to write them. They're not getting them in that one book that I have. Everything is a miracle. Do you not count each star, each twinkle? What about the light? What about your life? What about that he has all the hair on your head numbered? What about every tear that falls Jesus looks at? Do you not understand that each is a miracle? There are so many miracles going on in your life. Well, I'm looking for something great, wonderful. Already got that. I'm saved. And being in those miracles, I can't keep from singing, girls. You see, knowing Jesus puts a song in your heart. Knowing Jesus puts a little zip in your step, even for us old folks. I know Jesus. And I'm excited about knowing Jesus. All the other stuff doesn't really excite me that much. You know why? Because I know Jesus. But when you give him and when you believe in him with whatever the situation is in your life, then here's what you must do. You must expect him to multiply it. Whatever you give Jesus, he's going to multiply it. All of them got the bread. All of them got, well, listen, Mark 6, 42 and 43. Everyone ate and had enough. Afterwards, they collected 12 baskets full of leftovers. Whoa, we serve a big God. Can't you imagine that the kid? Imagine how big his eyes were and how proud he was. He gave those to Jesus, and he got to witness a miracle that has been talked about for over 2,000 years. What a blessing. What a God. Let me tell you the power of this. You know, the first miracle of Moses. Moses was great, called by God, man of God. First miracle of Moses, you know what it was? He turned water into blood. First miracle of Jesus, he turned water into wine. Moses had to use the staff. Hit the rock. Hit it the wrong way, too, one time, too many. He used the staff. They had some kind of object that they would always use for any miracle from God, and they'd use that object. Jesus spoke, and it was. He spoke. What he said happened. He didn't need any objects to do it because he is love. He is my miracle. He is your miracle. He is a miracle for this country. He's the miracle for the President of the United States, whom I lift up continually in prayer. One of the greatest presidents I've ever been blessed to be around. What a nation of God, a nation of godly people that ought to be praying for God's people to get about God's business. And when we get about God's business, you're going to see miracles galore. God loves you just like you are. I'm going to do something different today than I have been doing because we all do have masks. And I'm going to give an invitation, but I'm going to do it by just telling you that I invite you, if you're here and you have not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, I want you to come down in a little bit, and I want you that as the rest of us are dismissed, as we're going, I want you to come down here. Brother Randy will be here for you. We'll have prayer with you. We'll talk to you about any commitments that you're wanting to make. I've not been able to do this. People say, well, can you do that? Well, I'm doing it, so we'll find out whether I can or not. But I will invite you. It's just too important. Too important. If not, you want to call me? Call me. You got my number. Call me. Because your pastor loves you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I lift the congregation to you. I lift each one that is listening to you, Father. We ask your blessing and your special touch upon them. Thank you, Father, for the power of your love, for the miracles you give us in life. Touch our lives now, Father, that we might be somebody's miracle, and we will bless their life today. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.